Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Alex Chisnell is a British podcast host and entrepreneur. He produces podcasts with purpose. He's the host of the number one rated podcast, Screw It, Just Do It, co-host of Start, Grow and Monetize Your Podcast, and the founder of Podpreneur. When he launched Screw It, Just Do It 6 years ago, two downloads illustrated no one listened except for his wife and mother. Today, it's in the top 1% of all podcasts globally, with 500 plus episodes and listeners in 180 plus countries. He went from working as a flight attendant for Virgin Atlantic to becoming Sir Richard Branson's number one business advisor at Virgin Startup. Throughout his journey, he has had the opportunity to interview Stephen Bartlett, Lewis Howes, Jamie Lang, Fleur East, James Haskell, and many others. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Alex Chisnell. Where do we find you in the world and how are you doing?
Very good. I'm in Poole, in Dorset, in England, in the UK.
So, Alex, let's rewind. You've had a multidisciplinary type life in different aspects, but focusing specifically on the podcasting world, how did that come to be? What was the thought process that you had, which was like, cool, I want to dive into the space?
So for me, it was a podcast called How I Built This by NPR, hosted by Guy Raz, which charted the journeys of entrepreneurs from, you know, literally scratch to exiting for billions of pounds. You know, think WeWork, Airbnb, Patagonia, all these kind of guys. That got me into podcasting probably 9, maybe 10 years ago, originally. At the time, I was working with Richard Branson's not-for-profit, Virgin Startup, which helped entrepreneurs gain funding and mentoring to start their businesses. And I went to the CEO of Virgin Startup at the time and said, I think we need to be doing a podcast like this, but focusing on the struggle, you know, the life in the trenches, the early journeys of entrepreneurs in the business space. So they said yes, as long as it doesn't cost us any money and we don't have to do anything, go for it. So I went away and I recorded my first four episodes, and ultimately, cut a long story short, they took 90 days to give me an answer, 24 people to say yes or no to the podcast. Oh, I got this phone call, this email, I think, going, right, this Friday you're going to get three phone calls from Virgin PR, Virgin Management, and the Virgin Board. And each one is going to escalate the decision as to whether we say yes or no. And ultimately it went yes, yes, and then yes, but can you re-record all four interviews and can you change the format because we're thinking of doing a podcast exactly the same as that? And I was like, how long do I think about this? You know, so I thought about it for the weekend, and ultimately the reason I named my podcast Screw It, Just Do It was because, one, a nod to my former boss, Richard Branson, whose book was Screw It, Let's Do It.
Yeah.
And also the attitude, literally like, oh my God, you've literally strung me along for like, you know, 90 days. And if this is what it's like to work for a big organization, I'd rather do it myself. So launched my own podcast and ultimately loved the space, wouldn't want to be doing anything else. And that led to me ultimately starting my own podcast agency because of people just asking me for tips, tricks and tactics on how to launch their own show. And I was like, right, okay, let's do a workshop. A couple of workshops later led to a full-on 360 degree agency, and now probably done coming up to 200 podcast launches all told, and had my own show for about 8 years now. So yeah, fully in the space.
So when you first came across the podcast, when you first saw or heard of this thing called a podcast, what were your thoughts around it? Were you thinking, what is this about? Were you a little bit resistant toward it? What were your thoughts when you first came across it, the word, and the first episode that you heard or saw?
That's a good question. I don't think I've ever been asked that one before. I definitely haven't been asked that one before. I think it was, I can't believe that I've got like a radio that I can listen to anywhere on anything and at any time. And now, obviously, fast forward 8 years later, and we can all do that with radio and every other form of media. But at the time, you couldn't kind of do that. And so for me, it was like, wow, you could literally have this voice in your head whilst I'm going for a run, and I can stop it, I can rewind it, I can pause it. And I was just really, really intrigued, I think, at the time. And when I looked into it, I was amazed that they've been going for years and years. And I didn't know anything about it, let alone anyone else in the UK at the time, really, you know.
So you came across it for the first time around 9, 10 years ago, correct?
About 2016, I think. 2015.
2016, okay.
2015.
I think it started a few years before then, but it's definitely taken a while to catch on all around the world. What is the theme or type of podcast that you host?
Yeah, so my show is called, as I say, Screw It, Just Do It. And for me, over the years, I've kind of honed down what the USP is, ultimately helping people get from where they are to where they want to be. So I've literally hosted guests on there who've just done that, be that, big podcasters like Lewis House, for example, or famous entrepreneurs like Stephen Bartlett and Piers Linney from Dragon's Den, through to ex-SAS trained killers, right through to celebrities, reality TV stars, that kind of thing. But everybody who's ultimately got that story of getting from point A to point B and sharing the struggle and sharing, what was that screw it, just do it moment that ultimately propelled them forward in their journey.
When you personally listen to podcasts in your own time, do you have a specific genre or type of podcast that you listen to, or do you have any favorites?
Yeah, so my favorite is called the High Performance Podcast, and I'm lucky enough to actually record in the same studios as those guys. So I see them regularly and see the kind of guests they bring in. They're like one of the biggest podcasts in the UK for sure, in the kind of entrepreneur slash self-development space. But equally, my interests are pretty varied, so I could listen to podcasts about snowboarding, about golfing, about rugby, those are my American football. Those are my passions, are a lot of sports related stuff, self-development stuff, I guess, how you can improve yourself and your business. Yeah, I mean the most, most people will quote the Diary of a CEO, Stephen Bartlett's podcast over here, and yes, I was into that in the early days, but now High Performance is definitely my favorite. Don't miss that one.
Pre to you starting doing podcasting, when you did the 4 episodes as a tester for the team, was it a thing of, okay, I'm just going to dive in and see how this unfolds? Did you have any resistance of like, oh, can I do this? Or was it a feel by feel, step by step process and you just developed it as you move forward?
Yeah, another good question. So definite resistance, as evidenced by the fact that I recorded the interviews in the January of 2017, and I didn't release them until the May of 2017. And all that time, yes, there was the stuff going on in the background with Virgin approving it, but in my brain, there was the, is anybody going to listen to this? Does anybody like my voice? All those kind of self-doubt stuff
Yes.
that I've learned we all have, especially when it comes to, procrastinating with launching a podcast, or, it's anything in life, isn't it? Whether you want to, lose that weight, start that business, whatever it is, people procrastinate. People find reasons not to do the thing that they
Yeah.
want to do. And as with all of these things in life, it's getting started is the hardest bit. Yet I'd done the thing that I thought was the thing to get me started, but then the longer it kind of dragged on waiting on this decision, I think it just really stalled my progress, and all that kind of self-doubt came in. And I'm sure you'll relate to this. The best thing I ever did was hitting publish and going with it, and there wasn't a system, there wasn't a plan. I had no idea if I was going to be publishing in another 4 weeks, let alone nearly 8 years later and nearly 600 episodes later. That was never the plan, never the plan.
I know this is sort of a question you can't really answer because it happened the way that it did. Do you feel and think that if Virgin didn't take as long to give the go ahead and you only had a day or two to release, publish, record, and go, do you think that doubt would have still crept in as you were releasing or it would have alleviated it quicker?
Great question. I think the latter definitely alleviated it quicker. I think you literally just need to, hit record and then literally, edit, produce, and hit publish, because the longer you sit with your own thoughts, the old inner chimp kicks in, doesn't he, and starts making all those making just beating his chest and whispering in your ear like the good devil and the bad devil and all those kinds of thoughts, man. So yeah, no, you're right, definitely. The sooner you can press go on something like that, for sure.
What aspects for you were challenging in the beginning? So I'll give you an example for me. So when I first started, I was taught editing and I was doing my first editing job by myself. I thought, cool, 45 minutes and it would take me a couple of hours. 8 hours later, I was still sitting there doing this or figuring this editing out. Now, I'm very grateful to say that after all these episodes, I've got it down to about an hour, hour and a half. So, what aspects in your world did you find challenging and now you're a pro at it?
So definitely the editing was the thing, that I am not left side of the brain at all. So anything like that, technically I really struggled with, and it was just a massive time suck for me. And, I always say to anybody, especially with podcasting, that, yes, totally do everything, so all the parts of the process, but then just focus on the bit that you enjoy and, ultimately try and outsource and get other experts to do the things that you don't enjoy, because that could ultimately be the thing that stops you from carrying on with the podcast. That could be the barrier that gets you to do that. So for me, I really focused on the strategy and the tactics on what it takes to launch, to grow, and to monetize a podcast. So for me, that's always the area that I come in, now having an agency and having editors and graphic designers and stuff like that, because that's another thing I wouldn't be able to do, design the artwork. I wouldn't have a Scooby-Doo how to do that, whereas I know other people can jump onto Canva and there are natural wizard stuff like that. For me, nah, I can't do it. I could draw a stick man on a bit of paper with a pencil. That's literally it.
I'm totally the same. So when I started Celeb Savant, I got a designer colleague of mine to create the foundation image, so to speak, so that now every time I create a new episode, I just take the press shot of the artist and slot it into the design for the new episode.
Yeah, you've had unbelievable guests on your show, man. Unbelievable.
Thank you, thank you. I really appreciate your comments and your support. You were referencing earlier about people who procrastinate and that fear of getting started. Now, this is a discussion for debate. I often feel that people are scared or have a fear of being successful. So I'm speaking of beyond their comfort zones. So they've got a routine, they've got a structure, they've got a comfort zone, they know what it is, they know what they need to do, so they stick to that. And then I can just carry on doing that routine and stick to it because then there's no fear related to it because there's nothing that they don't know. Do you feel that for people who are starting anything new, there's that fear of stepping out of their comfort zone? And also the fear of them being successful, because being successful means that there's accountability, that there's ownership, and they're stepping into the spotlight for other people to look at them. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think the first couple of times I realized that, I did, again, something I heard of on a podcast, this program called 75 Hard by, at the time, my favorite podcaster, a guy called Andy Frisella in the States. And then that led to me doing my first marathon, and 100% doing those physical things, I realized that if you actually move towards the fear and do the hardest thing, get you off the sofa, get you moving, doing the hardest thing, that's actually where the biggest growth comes from. But we're all scared to do that because this feels nice, this feels comfortable. But, and I think that's probably where, my podcast and what I'm trying to get out of my podcast as well is really aimed at, is, giving examples of people who did those things, be that, as a as a singer or as a musician or as an entrepreneur, or as a sports person. recent episode I had, give an example, guy who went from being a carpenter who literally in the Paris Olympics now just won silver for the BMX freestyle, really young 21-year-old guy, I think, in the northeast of England. And it's just, taking that leap. And then, to your second point, yeah, that's really scary, isn't it? You've done the thing and now you've got to kind of own it. And the hardest thing becomes doing it. But then the hardest thing after you've done it becomes doing it again and again and again. And of course, people out there in your mind thinking that you're thinking they want to see you fail, but really no one gives a crap because everyone's just too self-focused.
They're too self-focused and trying to keep themselves in their comfort zones.
yeah precisely that. Yeah,
it's quite interesting. So I teach spinning cycling classes and I have for the longest time. I've noticed that people create unconsciously comfort zones on small things like a bike in a spinning studio. So people always go to the same bike. And if someone else gets there earlier and is sitting in their bike, it's like, this is my bike. How can you be sitting on my bike? And they get so angry. In the meantime, it's just a bike in the spinning class because none of the bikes are pre-booked. It's first come, first serve.
Yeah, that's funny because I always will always sit in the same, like I get the train to London every 2 weeks to work with clients and I'll always go to the same place. I hadn't thought of that till you said that with spinning. That's interesting.
So you referenced that you've helped so many podcasts or people or clients who are starting the podcasts in the beginning stages of their creation process. What does it mean to do that? So when a person comes through to you with an idea, what do you actually do and what are the steps that you do to help them?
I think some of the questions I ask to start with is ultimately, what is the purpose of your podcast? What are you looking to achieve? Because if you don't know that, you have no idea whether the thing you're about to do is going to be successful or not, because you've got nothing to measure it against, right? So that's the first one. And then leading on to that is for me, a natural one is like, what does podcast success look like to you? Because for one person that I chat to, a brand, for example, they might just want to build awareness around their product. For someone else I speak to, they might want to use that, which frequently happens. The organization wants to push the leader of that organization to the forefront. So they think a podcast is a natural way to position them as a, as an expert, as a thought leader in their space. So I like to get clear on those two things. And then I always ask somebody, what happens next? So after somebody consumes a piece of your content, they watch or they listen to your podcast, they might see one of your clips on social media, the same action should happen next. What do you want them to do next? Where do you want them to go? Because you've got them, especially with audio, you've got this voice in your head. The longer they listen to you, the more of an intimate connection they make with you, the more they want to know about you. So you've got them there. It's not something that they've been, a pop-up or an ad that's been fired at them on social media. You've got their attention. So what do you want them to do? What happens next? So for me, it's getting super clear on that. And then, it's coming into, okay, so what is the overarching theme of your podcast? Who is your dream 100 guests you want to have? What are the topics you want to talk about? Let's see if we can match those up. And then it's the same process, no matter what the podcast. It's let's reverse engineer it. Normally, 10 to 12 week process. So treat it as a project, like a quarterly project. So typically, this time of year, we're recording this in the autumn. It's like, right, let's push everyone to launch in January and get, super focused on getting that organized right here, right now. And yeah, that's the start, the launch part. And then, as I said earlier, once we've launched, it then becomes, okay, the next hardest thing, let's grow and scale this podcast.
Now, this is an interesting discussion that I'd like your perception on. When I started Celeb Savant, I had a whole bunch of people saying to me, I should watch other hosts or other journalists or interviewers who do similar or the same to see what's popular and what's working. Now, for me, I'm the type of person that when I watch someone else, I think I need to now copy what they're doing or try and emulate them. But then that's not me. That's not my authentic self because I'm trying to be someone else that is not me, that is outside of me. So I did not do that. I did not watch anyone else. I did not watch any other shows or hosts for the simple fact that I knew if I did, then I'd be trying to copy them and I wouldn't be authentic. What are your thoughts around that concept that I'm referring to?
Yeah, and it's so I agree with you. And you can't help it if you're already listening to podcasts and you're listening to a particular genre and you want to launch a podcast in that genre. But and I think it's the same with guests, right? I hear about people spending, you know, like day or days listening and watching every single piece of content that that guest has done. Yeah, I always remember a podcast guy called Rob Moore, who I've interviewed a couple of times. He's a big business podcast in the UK. And he interviewed a guy called Levi Roots. He's a bit of a kind of cult hero over here. Went on Dragon's Den, had his product, this reggae sauce, that is hot sauce, went really big. You know, he had his personal brand with the dreadlocks and everything, and it went really well. But I remember Rob sat down to him in his restaurant, and he went to ask him a question from like a pad of paper. And this guy, Levi Roots, just went, "Stop. I don't want you asking me same questions that everybody's asked me. Put that paper down and just ask me what you really want to ask me." And Rob just went, he's a complete pro. He just put it down and went, "Okay, let's go." Boom. And went straight in. And I think there's a fine line. I like to do a bit of research, but I don't want to over research my guests and for that reason ask the same questions. And it's the same, I think, as like you're saying, if you're starting a podcast, you don't want to watch, I don't know, 200 episodes of Joe Rogan, and then you come out like a second-rate Joe Rogan. And I want you to be a first-rate you, not a second-rate someone else. So, yeah, and I'm sure it's the same, you know, a lot of the people that you've interviewed like with music, you can take inspiration, but you don't want to be constantly playing somebody's songs back-to-back, I'd imagine, if you're trying to write new music or create new music, because you're just going to get funneled in a certain direction, I think, aren't you? It's going to rub off on you.
That's exactly it. So when I first started, I was doing interviews as a contributor on a podcast called That 80s Show, which is why I started Celebsvant, because I wanted to have access to artists from all the decades. Even though we love the 80s artists, I wanted to have the freedom to say, okay, cool, let's interview this person. And I used to have my set questions, and I used to research for quite a few minutes or longer than a few minutes before the interview. And I noticed that with one of the interviews that I was so stuck with the safety nets of the questions and the guest was veering off in a different direction. And I wasn't picking up the gold nuggets because I was like, oh, I have to go back to the questions. I have to go back to the questions. We need to be in the structure and format. And then I realized or decided a couple of interviews after that to just throw away the questions. And now I do what I do.
And you should carry on doing what you're doing, 100%.
Okay, so handing over to you now. In life in general, three tips to people who want to start something but are struggling to do so. And then three tips for them to maintain that consistency.
I think to get started, it's definitely, I'll stick with my original ones. Get super clear on why, you know, what the purpose of it is. What is the end goal? For the thing that you want to start, you know, if it's a podcast, if it's a business, whatever that might be. Secondly, for me, it's definitely ask for help. You know, we can muddle along on our own trying to edit the podcast or trying to do the books for the business. But it's difficult starting out because you're trying to do everything yourself. You're trying to save money, etc. But just don't be afraid to ask for help, even if that's, you know, a mentor. And a mentor for me could be, you know, a YouTube video you watch. It could be a book you've read, you know, it could be those things. So it's definitely get super clear on the purpose. Don't be afraid to ask for help. And the third one, it might seem obvious, but just start and think about, you know, you might have, I don't know, 80 things listed, like actions that you need to do to start the podcast, to start the business. Try and work out which one of those would, if you did this one thing, it would make all of the other things easier. So think of, like, you know, the dominoes that they line up and you knock one over and it knocks all the other over. So what is your big domino that will enable you to make all of the other things that you have to do easier? Because there'll be something for whatever you're trying to do, 100%. And then maintaining, yes. I think having, you know, documenting what you do is definitely helpful. So documenting what you do, so that you can then, maybe this is two, so that you can then work out the actual system and the processes so that you could just put it on auto repeat, like something you alluded to earlier. You don't really have to think about it. It becomes a natural thing to do. And then a third tip for ensuring that you keep be accountable. So I think get somebody to do that thing with you, or find out someone else is doing that thing at the same time. Do you know anyone else starting a business? Do you know anyone else starting a podcast? You know, networking now isn't just going to a dry old, you know, conference. Networking could be jumping on online and joining a support group and finding people who are a couple of years ahead of where you are as well. As I'll chuck, you know, as a bonus, I think that's really helped me, getting mentors that are further ahead. They've done the thing that you want to do. You know, don't take advice from people who haven't done the thing that you're trying to do, because there'll be loads of those. Yeah. Loads of those.
Okay, so three guests in this moment in time that are on your bucket list that you'd like to have guests on your podcast. I know it will change every time, but in this moment, who would those people be?
Yeah, good question. So it's always been my old boss, Richard Branson. So he's up there. I say Andy Frizzella as well, from First Form is the name of his business in the US, because I always want to interview him. And who would be a third one? Okay, let's go. Tiger Woods.
The podcast is listened to throughout the world. So as a final message, what would you like to say?
Final message, I think, alluding to some of the things we talked about earlier, you know, whatever the thing is that you want to do to move yourself forward, especially with a new year coming up, 2025, you know, people are going to have hopes, dreams, aspirations. Do the thing, you know, get started. Don't let fear hold you back. It sounds really weird, I suppose, if you haven't done it before, but move towards the fear, because only good things and growth lie the other side. For me, it's like, if it isn't going to kill you, what's the worst thing that could possibly happen? You know, you fall over, you graze your knees, you get up and you go again. It doesn't matter. Just keep going, man.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.